You're listening to A Midlife Less Ordinary, the weekly podcast giving you the lowdown on becoming a cool older dude. The good times are not a faded memory. It's time to start living them again. And here are your hosts, Wayne and Trev.
Hello and welcome to this episode of A Midlife Less Ordinary. My name's Wayne and I'm pleased to say that my old mucker Trev's spending some time with me again. Hello, Trev.
Bada bing, bada bong.
And how are you on this fine week?
It's a fugazi. I'm a bit...
gangster.
A bit mafia.
A
bit gangster mafia.
A bit Scorsese. You know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Bada bing, bada bong. You lazy bum. You lazy bum.
It's a fugazi, yeah.
It's a fugazi. What film is that from?
Donnie Brasco.
Well done. Yeah.
I know my films, well mate. Don't try and catch me out on films. everything else is fair game. It's funny enough. I know it's not the we're not doing stream of the week yet, but enough, what night was it? Sunday night. I wanted to watch something, but I wanted to half concentrate on it, and I didn't want to watch something that I had to concentrate. So I ended up turning off that film with Michael Keaton that's about 9/11 because it was too concentrated.
That looks good, but it does.
Yeah,
look serious.
You need to concentrate. Yeah, and I don't. Exactly. I don't want to concentrate. So you know what I put on, and I forgot the connotations of this. I put on Rise of the Foot Soldier 3.
What?
The Pat Tate story. Right.
Why?
And
why
I forgot. Do you know what I'm going to say now? You forgot. You know, I forgot as well. Now
you forgot. I'm going to. Richard Alloy was in it.
Yes, I did. And I'm watching it, and it is you know what you expect. It's and it makes me laugh that it was made 10 years after the original Rise of the Foot Soldier, but set 8 years before it. So Craig Fairbrass, who's now playing about a 30-year-old, he's about 60 in real life, and. Looks old, but that's what makes it funny. But yeah, I'm watching Rise of the Foot Soldier. When I say watching, I'm kind of, you know, it's that
one eye, one eye, and one.
And
off.
They end up in a bundle, you know, with a lot of C words and.
Bundle?
Yeah.
That's professional.
They end up in some sort of bundle.
Professional. Turn your phone off. That's professional.
That wasn't me. It wasn't me. That was you.
I've turned mine off.
That's yours. I'm not going to have a test of who's got what ringtone to prove who it was. It's not my guilt.
But
they're having a bundle in this film and calling each other bad words.
That's very school,
and they fall through some patio doors. And there's a husband and wife there. And it's Richard. So a friend of the show, Richard. And there is Richard in Rise of the Foot Soldier 3. Straight away, I recognised him. He made a very convincing person with a broken patio door, Richard. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. It was great. But but it was really funny. It actually made my week. But yeah, so it's nice to see.
Did you forget he was in it?
I did. Yeah, I honestly did. Good. But I recognised Richard straight away. And I say, it just made my night. So it was worth watching it. So yeah,
exactly.
Good to see you again,
Even
Richard.
Though it was a lot of old poopshank.
The film, isn't the greatest. It's a bit,
to be honest, I know Mark was in the first one. He was a big part.
Yes.
And I told him it was shit. And he kind of looked at me like,
you're going to alienate a lot of people now.
I don't care. To be honest, we alienate a lot of people just doing this podcast.
Well, so you alienate me, to be honest.
Well, that's because you fucking deserve it, really.
I've got a face only a mother could love, really, but you know.
And punch.
That's why I do a podcast, so no one has to look apart from you.
You couldn't appear on TV.
No. Well, I have appeared on TV. Stop.
You have appeared.
I didn't do very well.
Let's talk about your little performance on TV. Come on.
So basically, when somebody asked me on TV, what is the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you on a date? I said I fell over, and it's not even true. I wanted something to say,
and you lost that to a Gary McAllister lookalike.
Sorry, Gary McAllister, but this is true. I lost the show and to a Gary McAllister lookalike. Only because I have to be careful what I say here.
If you don't know who Gary McAllister is, Google it.
Google it and then watch Date My Mum circa 2016 on Channel 4.
It's not a porn film, even though it sounds like one.
No, it isn't. It's not like Debbie Does Dallas. It's more of a cafe in Upminster style.
It's not Shag My Mum.
No.
It's Date My Mum.
It's not even that. In my case, it's Get Nothing Out of It. But it's fine.
Nothing out of my mum.
Get nothing.
Don't even get pocket money.
You can find it is on all self-respecting Vimeo video websites. Date My Mum.
It's probably a Channel 5, wasn't it?
Channel 4 it was on, yeah.
Channel 4, upmarket. Yeah,
it was. It was 9 o'clock prime time, Channel 4 in January 2017. So I look a lot nice younger. Work. And that's when I was doing TV work and I was more tanned.
It was.
Yeah.
It was good then, yeah. I must admit, you looked a natural at it when I watched it.
Yeah. Well, natural what? Bone killer? But natural.
Natural belling.
Thanks very much. Cheers. Well, that's why I haven't bothered repeating the process.
No one can take that away from you, can they?
No, that is, to be honest, you, all jokes to one side, you remember the process I had to go through to get onto that.
Yeah, I do.
And I said to you, I'm going to be on TV because I really wanted to tick that off my bucket list.
You did. Yeah.
And I made it happen.
That's the thing about doing stuff like that. Like, I was in two shitty bands and played live and that. But no one can take that away from me.
No, that's right. You stood up in front of many people.
There's a lot of people that have never been on TV. There's a lot of people that have never sung in front of an audience.
Yeah, and that's saying something.
There's a lot of people that have.
Yeah.
But that's a minority. So you can look back and think, well, I did that.
Regret the things you have done, not the things you haven't. That's a good advice for the week.
Very much so. Very much so. You never saw me when I was in the band, did you?
No, I didn't. No, that's when I was literally trying to fulfill my wish of avoiding you. But
yeah, understandable.
Yeah,
you did a good job.
I could hear you in the Esplanade on Southend Seafront from where I was anyway.
Yeah, bellowing it out. Yeah, bellowing it out.
Exactly.
Rock godding it, as they say.
But
rock godding it.
But I think now it's probably that time of the week where we say hello to the AMLO Weekly Wipe.
Weekly Bum Wipe.
Oops. So, Trev, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one big bit of news, and you're not going to be affected by this at all in any way, shape, or form.
I didn't even know it was going on, a bit like that tennis player.
This is what I mean about the news. It's just a waste of time giving Trev any news.
Some people like to call me numb, and they'd be right.
It's not about being numb. It's just it doesn't affect you because you walk everywhere. But basically, the whole country has come to a standstill because of petrol. No, it doesn't. There's not a road you can drive down without a queue of cars blocking your way to get down there, and then you run out of petrol. It is absolutely, it's like Mad Max out there.
I only realised when people started sending me like memes and jokes about becoming HGV drivers.
Yeah, it'd be good if you could do that.
Yeah, that all of a sudden, and then they were saying, oh, there was these other Joe, and I thought, what's going on? I don't really, and it still didn't make me want to Google it. I just thought, oh, it's whatever. It's just like, but honestly, I went to work Monday, and if, to say the least, if I didn't hear the word petrol again ever in my life, I'd be quite happy.
Oh, tell me about it. You know, basically, it's affecting people's work.
You must suffer because you're on the road. Aren't you?
I'm supposed to be out on the road. I mean, I'm not a key worker, so it's not as important as some of the people out there struggling to get their petrol. But it's absolutely ridiculous. No. I had to queue for an hour to get some petrol from the only place within 20 miles that had any. And there was an old granny in a Nissan Micra that had filled up her
old
car.
Old granny. It sounds like an ageist comment coming out.
Am I allowed to say that in this day and age?
Yeah, go on.
A bit of editing. There was an aged young lady. No, that doesn't make sense.
No, you can't say that, can you?
No, you can't say that.
Get it out of here.
She was doing exactly what the antipathy of, well, that's a good word. You know, that was word of the week.
Good. Very good.
But of what the problem is. She filled up her Nissan Micra so she can hold me up further down the road doing 10 miles an hour like a tractor. And then she was filling up these diesel cans on the floor, and she was spilling it all over the road, and there's me slipping and sliding all around the floor. Just put it in my brand new car.
Yes. Exactly. All you got to do is flick a fag out. Poof.
I don't think it works so much with the diesel, but the petrol it would.
Nah. Oh, yeah. the one thing I did here at my work, which I thought was golden about this, is everybody was talking about it, blah, blah. I just turned off to it. I was like, yeah. And then I heard one guy saying, I can't even use my petrol lawnmower.
Oh, because we're really concerned about your grass being an inch longer than
normal. In hell, hold on. The world's going to stop because this guy cannot use his petrol lawnmower.
Yeah, I know. This is
pathetic.
What I mean. Yeah.
That's the trouble with the human race like that, isn't it? People
self-centered pigs.
Exactly. Yeah, don't get me wrong. We all like a routine. We all like to do what we want. But when it comes to a petrol shortage and people can't get suppliers and stuff, just because you can't mow your lawn for a couple of weeks, you can put up with that, surely.
I think we can. Yes.
I think we can. Exactly. Yeah.
The funniest part of that, though, Trev, the sort of humorous side of this was the BBC. Mm. Now, I was watching the BBC news programme early Saturday morning, and the funniest moment, and they obviously done this on purpose. Now, the BBC aren't known for their great humour. They're just a joke, no, joke full stop. But there was an empty fuel station that had sold like five times more fuel than they normally do and had sold out and put the signs up saying there's no fuel. And the reporter's name that was that the BBC had sent there, his name was Phil McCann. And he wasn't impressed. This is a true story. And he wasn't impressed. I could see that he's obviously been getting a ribbon. They've been going, Phil McCann, you're the boy in
do
the
you
street.
Reckon, go, yeah, do you go reckon? Do you reckon? He walked into the office that day and they go, Phil, come over here. Yeah. He comes over. He said, you're the only man for this job.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the credentials. You've got the know-how.
It's like being called Paul Skinback if he was going to a circumcision clinic or something, isn't it? And they'd send you there, wouldn't they?
Dear.
No, but it is, isn't it?
That joke there, Paul My Skinback, I haven't heard since I was about 11, and it's made me chuckle. So thank you for that.
That's all I live for, Trev.
But yeah, do you reckon he did? He went in there, and he was like this, and he thought, I've got a really good assignment there. This is going to be something else. And he probably looked down on his boss's pad and saw petrol shortage, Phil McCann, and thought, I'm only getting
it. Of course he did. I'd never heard of him before, but you could see that he'd been getting a and he was standing there and he wasn't impressed. And then it went viral, obviously. And Phil McCann, funny, good name for this crisis.
Give the BBC their dues for that.
I will, because it made me chuckle on a Saturday morning.
They're not a funny channel, are they? Normally?
No, not at all, especially not now.
You got to, yeah, that's good.
So the only other thing I wanted to mention...
I don't give a shit about petrol, but
no, I know you don't. No, you won't get no sympathy here. Well, you will from me, but not from Dre.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The only last thing I wanted to say to you, I know you're a big... You've turned from, obviously, a socialist in your younger years to middle-aged Tory.
When I was an angry youth.
Yeah,
an
you were. You was an angry youth. A born-again socialist.
I was out there,
militant.
Like citizenship, Smith, out there with me bare eyes.
Citizen Dearly. Yeah.
What was it? The popular toot in front, wasn't it?
That's the one.
Yeah, I was out there. I was out there doing
wearing
that.
Wearing his Che Guevara. He's been to Cuba, so that's why he takes it seriously, yeah.
It's not a beret, is it? Well, it is a beret.
It is. Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
What did the mother-in-law used to call him in the series?
You're going back to the 70s now. I know we're old enough, but... Christ.
Yeah.
But you said, but anyway, but the
Wolfie.
Wolfie. That's it. But yeah, the the Labour Shadow Chancellor, Angela Rayner, says she will apologise for calling Boris Johnson scum when he retracts past comments she described as homophobic, racist and misogynist. Basically, there was the Labour conference this week and she called the Tories a bunch of scum. And when they asked a Conservative minister to comment on what Mrs. Rayner said, he said, talking crap, while another urged her to apologise. So I'm glad that you fought fire with fire. But
exactly, yeah. This is what you want. You want your politicians talking like schoolyard.
Yes, you do.
Bullies, didn't you?
What we can understand.
You're scum, you're crap.
Yeah,
very emotive. One thing I will say, we spoke last week, I think, about kind of people saying stuff and not meaning it and blah, blah. And politicians just normally waffle. It's all politically correct. It's all kind of, it's all been edited. It's all been doctored so they know they won't get into trouble. I understand that because
it's a bit like we do with this podcast. Yeah.
You can get into some major brown doo-doo by just saying something. And it can be as innocent and then poof.
Yeah.
Anyway, at least someone said what they felt.
Oh, he's going back to being a socialist again. Yeah.
Yeah. You're but in a political world, you don't get it a lot, do you?
No, that's you don't. You don't. No, I'm all for it. People should say what they really think, not just think of their pension, in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Have you got Eddie Kidd riding past?
I have, yeah.
That's
I've
very clever.
I've lined up 10 buses and he's just about to jump them.
So you're worried about my ringtone that accidentally popped in, but you've got like Evel Knievel and Eddie Kidd lining up out there to jump over a Tonka toy or something.
It's a jump off.
Sorry, Eddie Kidd, is he still around?
Dead. He's both dead.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Who jumps motorbikes?
And then to be honest, no one.
No one.
And to be honest, when we were kids, that was a big thing. I actually saw Eddie Kidd jump.
Yeah, I have. I did at South Church Park in South End.
I was there.
Why didn't you? Yeah, I was. Yeah. Why weren't we reporting
didn't
on
like
it?
You then. I don't like you now, and I didn't like you then. That's why I didn't say it.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah. But it's very impressive. Anyway, yeah. But it was a cool
very,
old boy.
Very quickly. Yes. I'm a big Evel Knievel fan. Yeah, I had all the toys. Well. I've still got one of the toys. The one wound up ones. I've still got one. And you know, one thing I loved about Evel Knievel was when, because he was pretty crap, wasn't he? Sometimes.
Yes.
But sometimes he was great. Do you remember when he tried to jump the Graham Cannon in that rock?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What a load of old pants.
The toy was shit. And his attempt to do it was shit. All it did was go up in the air and come down on a parachute.
Yes.
He didn't. He was nowhere near it. Nowhere near it.
No. But we love him for it, don't we?
You know who's taken over that kind of daredevils and that? All the skaters and BMXers.
It's not Anthony Joshua, is it?
To be honest, I've heard so many people make excuses for him over the last couple of days.
There's no excuse. Yep. I kind of knew that guy would.
It's a shame because it would be nice to get what's his name?
Fury versus guy AJ.
No, the boxer guy we interviewed.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Glenn. Yeah,
on his opinion, Glenn. Yeah, not to get Glenn's opinion on it, but yeah, people just the trouble is, and I'm no boxing fan. I love old school boxing because my old man loved it, like Alan Minter and Barry McGregor and Marvin Hagler, all over that. Too much money involved. It's got pathetic. Anyway, that's my opinion. The only thing I will say. Is, and I might be wrong, and I'm sure people will tell me that I'm wrong, that Anthony Joshua has taken over where Frank Bruno left off.
I think Frank Bruno would finish him, I think, to be honest.
Nice guy. Seems a nice guy. Fits the bill. Looks good on the adverts. Links adverts. Looks good on an Under Armour pair of shorts. Talks a good game.
Yeah, but this is very his nice. Sponsorship talking,
no,
isn't it?
Yeah, no mean streak at all.
He was a game.
Because to be honest, looking back, Mike Tyson could have killed Frank Bruno in that fight, couldn't he?
Oh, definitely.
Could have killed him. Exactly. But, and this is the thing with Anthony Joshua. The trouble is, it's like Rocky III. They've got no hunger for it. They've got all
that's
this
what
sponsorship.
I mean. He's got
this
hundreds
money.
Of millions. What does he need to
can't be
do
bothered.
That for?
Exactly.
He's not hungry. I mean, actually, he's lost his legacy. I mean, people like Lennox Lewis lost. But when they lost, you knew that they were a champion who just took their eye off the ball. With Anthony Joshua, there's something missing. There's something not right about him. I mean, Tyson Fury, when I first become apparent that he was doing around. I used to think he was a joke because he ate McDonald's, but he's a fighter. He is a proper fighter, I would back him to beat Anthony Joshua if he got fit for it.
Yeah,
no problem at all.
This is what I'm saying. I'm not a boxing man by any means, but they have. I respect the guys that have got a mean streak.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be right. Obviously, you can. I don't know, but I don't think you to get to that level. You can't be a nice guy.
No,
you really can't.
You can't be a nice guy. Nice guys don't win. That's why you do all right. That's why you do all right. Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I never win. I never win anything. I'm just too nice. I never win anything. But yeah, that's my
send him a care package, everyone. Trevor wants a care package.
I want a cuddle and a care package, all in one.
But I think that sums up the week for this week, Trevor. I think we've covered most of everything. And now I think it's that time of the week, because hopefully you've prepared for it, when we do our...
I have, for a change.
You have actually prepared?
Actually wrote things down.
Oh, fantastic.
Used a pen and everything.
Well, let's do your favourite little segment that's called Stream of the Week. So I think I better just warn before I start this week that I don't want you caning my choices this week, okay?
Well, if you come up with something good, I won't. But if you watch the normal old crap that you watch, then I will.
No. I'm going to get...
I will blossom.
My first stream of the week is on Netflix, and my first choice is a sci-fi film. I think it was about 2017, and it's Arrival. Mm. It's based on the short novel, Story of Your Life, and it's about language and discovery. It sees humanity struggling to make sense of strange alien visitors arriving
on
Earth.
Is it Jeremy Rimmer?
Yeah, and Amy Adams, isn't it? At the centre of the film is Louise Banks, played by Amy Adams, whose attempts to commune with the aliens bring her unsettling visions of a daughter she doesn't have. It's moving, touching and fascinating. Now, this is my own words. Unlike most of Christopher Nolan's recent work, this movie has intellectual timeline paradoxes, but ultimately it does make sense and fulfills aspects. Because it does actually make sense at the end. It's quite complicated.
I like it. I was disappointed in it, but I like it. But if I was to say Close Encounters.
Yeah. I think, yeah, he definitely draws on that. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. A little bit too much, I believe. A little bit too much.
I can see it. Yeah. I mean, you're trying your hardest to dismiss it. At least you're giving it some credit.
No, I like it.
It's a great film. Yeah, I watch it by all means. If Christopher Nolan's movies, which are always a spectacle, but kind of get on your tits when it doesn't really make sense near the end, then watch
wrong,
that because it'll have the same feeling, but it will make sense in the end.
So, and the thing is, the Chris Nolan films, as much as I like them, they frustrate me because I think you're just doing this to be
too clever.
I have
to Google Reddit to find out what other people think about it.
it's shocking, isn't it?
And it's always open-ended anyway. Every one of his films is open-ended.
Don't get me wrong, he's a great director. He makes
he's brilliant.
Now,
I love him, yeah.
But he always just has to go slightly over the top, push it too far.
Yeah.
But with Inception, great.
I love that's and one of the ones I do really love.
But it went too far. With the description.
But I do understand it, but it's probably because I've watched it 55 times. But
isn't it just normal? Just leave it there. You don't need to have another twist and turn. And it's over complex.
But yeah, I'll give that a good 7.5, 8 out of 10 for watching that.
I'll give it a 7.5.
No, I know you're tighter with your films, but go on then. But what are you watching this week or what are you recommending?
I watched again because I normally mention animation and I'm going to do it again. I watched Visions, which is the Star Wars animated series, which is influenced by manga and anime. Anime, what am I saying?
That's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, same thing. Yes, it is. First one's great. There's 9 of them. Anime. That's what I meant to say. Anime. Anyway, it's ever so good. The first one, I was like, oh, this is great. This is great. And all of them have got different styles. So you've got that kind of samurai thing more for the serious manga people, like the more adult that like their stuff a bit, not bloodthirsty, but a bit meaner and a bit tougher.
Yep.
Then it'll flick to the big eyes kind of like Astro Boy kind of thing. Which covers all the bases. I don't know where the target audience is. I loved some of them. Some of them I thought were just absolute pup.
What studio did they come from, Trevor? Who makes them?
I'm not sure, to be honest. It was all different.
Is it official Lucasfilm, Disney stuff?
Yeah. It's on Disney. Yeah. But again, because of all the changing, I admire the way they've changed all the moods for it because it's all different styles of Japanese animation.
Yeah.
But some of it just doesn't work. It's too cutesy. But perhaps it's because I'm
Star Wars fans only, or anyone.
Star Wars fans and big geeks only. I don't think you'd get away with it because people would be like, "What's this about?" If it was your average person that just likes a bit of Star Wars, they'd be like, "What's this?" Well, I don't know these characters. There's no reference to any old characters in it, not that I remember. It's for real Star Wars nuts and real geeks.
Okay.
To be honest, which I'm one of, so, you know.
Well, I didn't know anything about it, so, you know,
just, you know, catch what ones you can, stop halfway through, think it's crap, go to the next one. Yeah, that's my opinion on it.
Thank you for that. And my second movie choice is another one from a few years back. I think this is a movie you'll probably say to me, probably flawed a little bit, but a good spectacle. District 9. Set in 1982 in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Yeah, good.
Another alien spaceship. You can see where I'm going this week, sci-fi.
Yeah, you
an
love
alien
it,
spaceship
yeah.
appears and a population of insect-like aliens are found aboard before being banished to District 9 by the government. 3 decades later, the district has become revealed by the locals and increasing unrest leads the government to believe that the aliens should be moved. In the process of doing so, 3 escape, setting off another chain of events. Inspired by the apartheid in South Africa, District 9 visual effects were also designed to evoke a kind of insect-like alien, but one that viewers would sympathise with as the film went on, which it did
do, to be fair, didn't it?
You felt sorry for them.
It's weird with that, because I think that's ever so good. It's really set well. They live in the slums, don't they? They're kind of... what I think is a better movie than that,
Alien Nation.
It's a good movie. Well done.
Yes, I knew it. I knew it. We didn't practice that. I knew you was going to say because I get the same feeling from it.
Exactly.
I get the same
Alien Nation is a great film.
Yeah.
A great film. Way ahead of its time. the whole thing about him drinking. But anyway, this is your thing about
I'm glad you said that because I think it's the same. It's good. Definitely one to watch if you haven't watched it.
What happened to that guy though that directed that? He made some other films that were like, what was the other one he did with the kind of caring robot, which was pretty crap.
Chappie.
Yeah, that
I kind of like Chappie. It's probably one I would talk about if it was on there at the moment. But
he had a real kind of future.
Yeah, but that's got the same feeling.
Asylum with Matt Damon as well?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've got the same sort of feel to them, haven't they, the movies?
Yeah, it's as though he couldn't escape from doing those films.
He was the next big thing and he sort of got a bit quiet. Yeah.
And I must admit, I really enjoyed it when I saw it. I haven't seen it for years. And I really thought, oh, this man's going to go somewhere. Yeah. And then the rest of them were like, ooh.
I think he was given a lot of money to do Chappie, and I think it didn't do well. Yeah. But I'd say again, Chappie, give that a chance if you know it's a good sci-fi.
Yeah. But one thing I love about those two films is the robots look amazing.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they really do.
They look really.
You could believe that could happen in 20, 30 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Exactly. And they don't drink off milk.
No, they don't drink milk, no. So does Ian Rush now, but he's playing for Accrington Stanley. I was going to do the impression, but I thought after Rainbow last week, I think that everyone can see how talented I am.
You're not Mikey Arwood.
No, but we do our best. But my choice, Trev. What's your second for the week?
It's a new TV show that, again, is on Stars, which is part of Disney. And I was familiar with this because I read the comic a long time ago by Brian K. Vaughan. Why the Last Man?
Okay.
Why? It's a difficult thing because I don't want to give it away, but I'm going to. the why in it is to do with the Y chromosome. Basically, there's like a disease that kills every man and every male animal on the planet.
Interesting. Yeah.
So all that's left is women. Who kind of take charge, sort of like a female Planet of the Apes, really. but there's one guy who survives it. And then it's the why did he and lie? And then obviously there's a talk about
him. Is he seeding things?
Well, he will be.
Yeah.
He will be, but he doesn't have his gardening gloves on. But the
his name's not Percy Thrower, then, is it?
No, it's Percy.
Pointing Percy, more like.
Pointing Percy, primed and ready Percy, by the sound of it. Anyway, but what. And the one thing I loved about this is, and honestly, it's probably because I was familiar with it and I might have watched it before it was actually on streaming devices. And that's probably why last week I mentioned having a pet monkey, because the guy's a training magician.
Yes.
In it. And he's got a pet monkey.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made me say it last week, because I'd seen it.
It was in your head.
One.
Yeah.
It was in my head. It's all in my
head. Or you were spanking them, I don't know. But
and the monkey's great. There's something about that. And you weren't there spanking the monkey.
What?
You do like that.
What do you mean?
There's something about it. That's about the fifth time you've mentioned it in two episodes.
Is it? Oh, no, I didn't actually mention spanking in monkeys. And that's probably against the RSPCA's code of practice. Yeah.
But you would have spanked.
No, what I said last week and people picked up on, that was a genuine slip of the tongue. When I said 10 minutes off the wrist, are you referring to?
That is brilliant. You didn't even realise what you said.
No,
it's great.
It was just,
anyway, back to Why the Last Man.
Yeah, Why the Last Man.
It's ever Diane Lane's in it, who's ever so good. It's only three episodes available at the moment. Started off really well. It's quite gory in places and that. But the only one thing I will say for it, it may get a lot of ladies interested in those kind of sci-fi, horror-y, apocalyptic things, because there's only one bloke in it. So all the leading ladies, all the whole class is women, which is nice to see a different demographic of what they would do.
Yeah, but they keep saying, we're going to make James Bond Jane Bond and things like this. Well, they do enough movies that are like James Bond with women now.
And they're normally all
just
crap.
Make your own films. Yeah, Black Widow, that one you mentioned the other week, the assassin ones. They're all women. There's a lot of women heroes
and I watched
these
another
days.
One.
It's great.
The Yakuza Princess, which was a lot of old crap and all.
There's plenty of these movies now. We don't need to demasculate any more men, really, to be honest. Trev's doing a good job on his own.
I say your masculinity is gone, mate.
Well, I got him first. Like
binary. Binary.
But that's our recommendations for this week. I think we've done all right this week, Trev. We've done some good ones.
Both of them are good, but not amazing of mine. And yours were both crap as normal.
excuse me, you just actually wax lyrical about my movie choices and my summary per se.
Just makes me feel better saying they're crap.
Well, thank you very much for that. Cheers. So that's our stream of the week, everyone. You know, if you've got a chance to watch anything at the weekend, just give them a try. Let us know what you think about it on the normal website address, amlopodcast.com. Leave us a message. Trev, so I would like to now maybe go to our regular segment that's called Dick of the Week. So I'm going to surprise you this week, Trev.
Why is that?
I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to surprise you because you know that we recorded these a little while ago, the actual Dicks of the Week. We do everything else we do in the week, but we recorded the Dicks of the Week because we thought that it would make, you know, it'd be a lot of work recording these Dicks of the Week live.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm going to surprise you with who we've got this week. And here we go.
This is worrying.
And today's Dick of the Week, we've picked an Alan Partridge clone, really. Basically, I think Alan Partridge, or he's based himself on Alan Partridge. I don't know which way around. But Richard Madeley, Dick Madeley. What's your thoughts on Dick Madeley, Trev? Oh, dear. Well, is it that bad?
He's a smarmy dick, isn't he?
Yeah, totally.
To be honest.
How old do you think he is? He's
64.
Oh, you keep Googling it and trust, but it's 65, yeah. Well done. I mean, he's good for his age, but it doesn't stop him being a smarmy git.
No, he comes across quite patronising.
Yeah, he does, yeah. When he's on that This Dick Morning thing or whatever it's called, he really messes up some of the interviews. He's actually cringeworthy sometimes, but he's actually quite good to watch.
Yeah, well, he's got car crash television waiting for him to make a mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember him getting done for stealing like years ago? I haven't got this news article, but
was it his missus?
No, I don't
was
think
it's telling me what. Talking of that, yeah, one of the best memories of them is when her tit fell out. Dick was quick to cover that one up, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He really was. Yeah, he's got to look down and like, my missus' tits hanging out. Oopsie. But yeah,
he was done for shoplifting.
What did he nick? Nicking Dick.
It was so silly. I remember it because at the time he wasn't as famous as he is now, sort of thing. But I could try and Google. I could just like stall for some time here.
Yeah, just kind of. Yeah, just like TV personality Dick. You know, the sort of thing that you feel like you shouldn't have to need, but you do. He just is. You know, they just. Oh, he's daytime television, isn't he?
He is that. I think
Philip Schofield would become that Dick.
Oh dear. Yeah, he's already top dick, but he doesn't need the name even. He just really
he just
is.
Likes a lot of dick. I think.
Oh no, I knew you was going to go there. I thought no, oh dear. And welcome to our very rainbow podcast. Yeah, he was arrested for failing to pay for items, including champagne, just as his career was starting to soar. The star was busted in a Tesco supermarket in Manchester in 1994. He was later acquitted of all shoplifting charges after citing lapses of memory for what happened. Some years later, he said, I was just not concentrating. I put the food through the till, forgot to take the champagne out. I can handle anything now. Do you know what? I've done that. I've literally forgotten.
Did you nick champagne?
No, I didn't nick champagne. I wouldn't nick say I hate anyway. But I've been in a shop and I'm not concentrating. Your mind's somewhere else. And I'm putting stuff off the shelf and putting it in my pocket as I'm not thinking. Yeah. And I was like,
That's called common thievery.
No, I didn't. I realised. I said, oh my God, I didn't know. It just like turned off the brain. It was just like,
Richard is a champagne dickie, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, funny how it's the champagne and not like a pack of Smarties he forgot to pay for.
Yeah, exactly.
Not being funny, 1994, champagne was like 50 quid a bottle. Now you can pick up Carver. Yeah. It's not a problem. He probably just goes and pays £3.50 down Lidl's.
But he couldn't help himself. Why do you think that, getting away from the subject of dicks, why do you think famous people do you think it's the thrill of nicking stuff?
I think, yeah, I know. I don't think maybe he was telling the truth, but but the ones that have been caught doing it that are really big stars, and I can't remember some of the names of recently, but I think they do it because they can. It's just because where they lose that thrill of everything. You know, once you've...
Yeah, exactly. You know, given to them.
Some people go off the rails, don't they, and just do every drug and kill themselves. You know, we talked about dicks.
After the third series of this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just spending any time with you, I'm going to end up topping myself. Yeah. I thought I'd get that in first. But yeah, I do believe that people, thrill seekers, do end up like self-destructing, don't they? Really, yeah. Basically. But, you know.
Yeah. Going back to Richard Madeley, he's got that kind of body shape that he'll never put weight on.
That's right, yeah.
No matter how much he eats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's this week's Dick of the Week. We've put Richard Madeley straight at number one, especially for that Ali G impression, which was cringeworthy years ago. Terrible.
That,
So you are Dick of the Week. So I feel a bit bad, Trev, giving Richard Madeley airtime, to be honest. We're just promoting him, aren't we?
Yeah, I must admit. When we suggested him doing him, not like that. You've got to cover all of this, but I don't, as I said on that little episode there, I don't like that smarmy daytime TV thing. It's just like, you know, and what I don't like about them is they're all nicey-nicey, and then all of a sudden the real journalist comes out in them and they try to throw a curveball at someone.
Try to be controversial or something. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And like, at least with Piers Morgan, like, at least he's virtually controversial all the time.
Yeah.
He doesn't put up this front, I'm a nicey-nicey, but here goes. Here comes the
He's a proper
shocker.
Journalist who just tries to get to the point. Is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. And, like, they're just all this kind of, it's bollocks, to be honest with those. But, like, who do you want on TV, really? Who could you have?
Andy Peters.
Andy Peters once, right? They set him up. Once on some camera thing, I think it was for some Niall Edman show. Like, I don't know, what was that Saturday thing with Mr. Blobby?
Oh, Niall Edman's dinner time. I can't remember, but I know the
lot of old shit. Yeah. Anyway, they set Andy Peters up on it, and they were talking to him, and he said, "Would you like a drink, a soft drink or anything?" And he said, "Yeah, Diet Coke, but caffeine free." And they were like, "Oh no, we ain't got normal Diet Coke." He absolutely went Garrity. Absolutely. Like, "Oh, I'm not drinking that." You think, all right, mate, who do you think you are?
Didn't he say, "We've got £85,000 of tax-free cash to give away."
And I can't get a cat decaf Coke.
And I can't get a decaf Coke.
Honestly.
But before everyone says, "Oh, Andy Peters, he sunk so low, he's basically just doing the quiz competitions on Breakfast TV," he actually owns the company that does all them competitions.
Oh, really?
So he's doing all right. He's a producer, isn't he? Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the guy I do like is the guy that was on Blue Peter and then got kicked off for sniffing coke.
Kevin Bacon's brother. Richard Bacon. Yeah.
I like him.
The one who done a Robbie Fowler at the... He jokes about it, and that's what's cool about it.
Even now, he still jokes about it, doesn't he?
Well, Andy Peters tried to catch him out with the Blue Peter book the other week. Did you see it? It was very funny.
I did see that. Yeah, it did. Yeah, and that's good, because he admits he's done it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll give him credit for that. Yeah,
he admitted, and he still harps on about it now and again, makes a joke of it, moves on.
Yeah.
It's good. And I like him. He's one.
Yeah,
I
like him as well. Yeah, he's on the Big Breakfast as well, wasn't he? When we used to watch that,
he was.
And it was good fun.
Yeah,
in the 90s.
That was good. That was good.
Well, there's a way to wake up.
I'll tell you
who
I did feel sorry for on the Big Breakfast was Kelly Brook.
Yeah, I was going to thought you might mention Kelly Brook somewhere.
Strangely enough,
yeah, funny that.
Yeah, but again, they set her up really, didn't they? And I thought she did an all right job.
Yeah, she was only 20 years old then.
Exactly. Yeah, and she. Yeah, and they just kind of caned her for it, you know? And you just think, well, it was her first, I think it was one of her first TV jobs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What do you expect? It's just like, she obviously had, I don't know, she might completely, you know, but I don't think she had any kind of like TV training, like, you know, back in the day where they come through drama college.
Well, she
hasn't
got all that experience of doing Slim Fast ads then, did she?
No, she's, and she don't need to lose any weight, does she? Look at her.
No.
You know?
No, indeed.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, exactly. You know, and to be honest, the only reason she's really famous because she had a nice pair of norks and a nice face. You know,
that's all you need.
She found a Same as me.
I'm heading that way, Trev. I'm heading that way. I'll be all right.
Get through life. It's my nice face and my night snorks. But yeah, honestly, and I just thought it was unfair. And don't get me wrong, Denise Van Outen did a great job on it, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she
it's a shame
on.
She had so she much work really done now. She's trying to keep, you know, because I don't mind her either.
Leslie Ash.
Yeah.
What happened there?
I don't. Yeah, she had an operation went wrong. One of them lip filler things went wrong, didn't it?
I think that was Lee Chapman knocking her about. She just thought.
I think we have to bleep the names out here because that's not been proved. But Lee Chapman played for Southend United. One game, one goal. And left.
Superb record.
Yeah, it's 100% record. A bit like Southend against Man United, have 100% record. But now in the National
League.
Played 1-1. God rest your soul, Southend United.
It's awful because I've actually, I don't even look for their results now. How sad is that?
No, man, you've got to do it. You've still got to suffer with them.
Yeah, I should do, really. I didn't get on at the weekend. I didn't even check it.
They didn't play this weekend, so they're basically that's a nice result. Good. Yeah, it was nice good. Result. It was good for all the Southend fans out there.
Yeah,
but
that's good. Yeah,
it's very sad.
I did look for it, and I thought I can't find it, but
it's very sad. But that
have we got time to talk about football? Well, we haven't. Well,
you could fit in a quick. We've got a minute, Trev. You can fit in. Go on.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, my shower again got trumped. But I was talking to somebody today about this, and it's awful when you're 3-0 up, and you don't feel safe. You think, you know, certain clubs just go for the jugular. Certain clubs just, no, we'll sit back. We'll let one in about the 60th minute, let another one in about the 82nd, and then you can just see the third one coming on. Yeah. They'd sit deep and deep and deep. And I was talking to some guy, and he supports West Ham, and he said to me, he said, I'm never confident of 3-0 up. How can you not be confident of 3-0 up?
I thought he said, I'm forever blowing bubbles.
He has, yeah. Is that a Michael Jackson reference? Isn't it? Yeah, I thought it was.
I didn't go
that's
there.
My little take on football. That's my little
no,
take
it's true.
Football.
No, I get what you're saying. It's never, but that's why football gets into you. You can't help it.
It
just gets in your head. Yeah. It plays a lot of mind games. But, all you guys that like football, follow football, I'll take my hat off to you. Trev and myself, we don't really fell out of love with it a little bit, haven't we, over the years?
Yeah.
I think. But you still support
it's
your teams.
Money.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but it's money. It's just become ridiculous.
We don't feel like a working man's sport anymore.
It's not.
Not that we work, we just do podcasts, but, you know, maybe we should like it more, Trev. You know, we'll have to start going more. But
maybe,
I think that's it for this week, Trev. I think we've summed everything up and fitted it all in. I've enjoyed your company,
even though it's crap. Have you got pleasure out of this time?
Nothing off the wrist before you say it, or nothing about choking.
I've been pleasured
chickens.
By doing it again.
Yes.
With you.
Okay. It's all innuendo now. It's like a carry-on film. I don't know if we're allowed to do that kind of thing anymore.
No. It's what your head is telling you that I'm saying. I'm just saying I have got pleasure out of doing this.
Imagine if it
pleasured.
Did. Imagine if everything I thought you were saying was innuendo and then I just... Well, it'd be strange,
they should
it,
make
Trev?
A film like that.
Yes, they should. Double entendre movie.
They've done one about like lying, can't say no, yes man. Somebody that just lives.
That's
a
true
whole
story.
Life.
Yes man. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a true. The one with Jim Carrey. That's a true story.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought I was
up.
Yes man.
There you go. Back to stream of the week. You know, another recommendation.
Yeah, exactly. Another. That's not a bad movie.
No, it's all right. But yeah, that's
imagine
it.
That script.
Yeah, no, it's
that'd
good.
Be great,
it'd be great. We'll make our own.
Innuendo man.
Innuendo
yeah,
man. I'll get you a leotard and you can be innuendo man.
I don't mind.
You wear leotards anyway. You're known for it.
Love it.
But it's all good.
Close to my body.
I've got to end this podcast before you lose it completely. So thanks everyone for listening as always. Please leave us a message. AMLOpodcast.com. Hit the message. Send us a message. Talk to us. Please talk to us. I'm fed up with talking to this hairy mouth. Please help me.
That's not innuendo, is
help
it?
Me out here. Smith, thanks, and we'll see you on the next one.
The next one.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please leave a rating and review and visit our website at www.amlopodcast.com to check out all the links and resources in the show notes. Start living them good times. See you next time.